Hello, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving.
How was the Cape, my dear?
The Cape was, so gorgeous. And my family was great. I'm filled with love. And this morning I stared at the ocean and I cried a little bit because I imagined all of the lives that have come before me and all of the lives that will come after. And I imagined them all overlapping on top of each other and laughing and singing.
It's very good to stare at the ocean sometimes.
It is. Oh.
I feel it's very important to stare at the ocean every once in a while.
Yeah, and my niece is 7, and she asked me to wake her up before I left so that she could say goodbye, and so I did. And we had a beautiful moment hugging and saying, "You're my favorite." And she's like, "You're the very best auntie." And I'm like, "You're the very best niece." And then it's very heartwarming. Lots of heartwarming, intense feelings right now.
You're surrounded by love, Linda. What a joy.
So much love.
What a gift.
So much love. Oh, I feel lucky.
You are.
Yeah. How are you? Are you surrounded by love?
I am surrounded by love. Mostly the dog and the wife and, you know, those things. But yeah. Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good.
Good.
I'm expecting a delivery of the rest of the stuff for the basement construction project today. Some drywall and insulation and whatnot. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Then it'll all be here. And then it's just on me to finish the work. So that's good. Yeah, I don't know. Just living life.
Living that damn life. That's cool.
So how long are you still in the States before you go off to France?
Like 8 hours.
You leave for France in 8 hours?
Yeah.
Is Lenny with you? Did Lenny come to the beach?
Yes. So, yeah, I pulled a real Linda and just trying to maximize all that love time. What's going to happen is woke up at 6 a.m. and got in the car, driving back to Brooklyn. I'm going to drop Lenny off with his Diddy. And then I'm going to catch a flight to Paris. And then I'm going to catch a train to X. And then I'm going to get a car. And then I'm going to drive to Arles. It's a big day.
That is about the biggest day I can imagine. We are very different in the sense that if I were in your shoes right now, I would be just a bundle of anxiety and stress. I would not be able to calmly drive and talk about how my life was full of love and how I was staring at the ocean, thinking big thoughts. I would just be like, holy fuck, there are so many logistics that have to go right today. What the fuck have I done to myself?
There are so many single points of failure that I think it just turns my brain off.
Right, you're powerless. You're just in the riptide, and yeah, it'll take you where it's gonna take you.
It's like who knows how this day's gonna go. You know, I could end up in like Italy, like surrounded by a SWAT team who that might got the wrong suitcase. And,
hey, you know, it wouldn't be the first time, am I right?
Hey, I don't know what that's a euphemism for, but I'm into it.
Well, that's a very long day, Linda. But you don't seem that stressed about it. You're like, it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
No, it was very chill. So this weekend, I was at the Cape with the fam, and then so my brother-in-law, Ian, he's a fighter pilot, and one of his fighter pilot friends came, and we had all kinds of chats about what their job is like, and I gotta say, it's kind of cool. Like, I don't like guns and I don't like the military, but like, we're talking about like, things like today, like lots and lots of stress. And like, I think Ian has the personality that is like ADD, very highly distractible on a normal day. But then when he's like manning this $1 million aircraft and has to communicate on 3 different radio channels and do 7 different things at once while keeping himself alive. He's like fully focused and fully on. And we're talking about how we both kind of have that thing. Except for me, I sit down and I draw pictures and I don't go zoom zoom in the sky.
Yeah, it's 6 of one, half a dozen the other.
Yeah. I feel like this is it's a little bit of one of those days where you're like, well, just a lot, just keep your eyes on the prize. There's time to dilly dally.
I also don't like guns or the military, but we are lying to ourselves, Linda, if we don't admit that guns are fucking cool. They're so cool.
There's so much happening there. Like marvels of engineering and physics and yeah.
I mean, they're beautiful little mechanical objects. There's so few things left in our world that are like purely mechanical. So like, I get it. I still hate them. But, you know, it's exactly like how we have to admit that, like, smoking just looks cool. It looks cool to smoke. All right, we have to acknowledge that. It's bad. Oh, you shouldn't do it, but it looks fucking cool.
It does look cool.
Yeah, and guns are just cool. It's just, that's just how it is. I don't want to. I wish it wasn't that way. It'd be much easier if it wasn't, but unfortunately it is.
I know. One of my favorite things that we talked about, me and these fighter pilots, was how they get ready for a mission. Because I was sitting there in my little notebook doodling out, like, what do I need to pack? And how do I need to plan for this trip and for the next month and da-da-da? And he was like, oh, do you want to see one of our objectives boards? And I was like, hell yeah,
Of course I do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Meanwhile, their wives are, like, not interested at all. So I'm, like, the first person who's like, this is awesome. And they're like, all right, we got an audience, finally. And so each mission has, like, you know, their main objectives and the flight patterns, and they have, three to five key things that they have to accomplish, and they have different, like, rules that they have to adhere to get those things done. And I really, really like the way that the objectives are listed out and, like, the way that the training is done, because in their situation, it's like a life or death scenario, like almost every time. And so they are super hyper realistic about like training and how much one person can like learn and how much one person can prepare for in a day. And I don't know, there's something about the planning that really, really got me excited and feeling seen. Because, you know, it's not like these like tech giants that are just like, oh, we're just gonna like go out there and crush it. Be really vague and ambiguous about what you're trying to accomplish, and a little bit grandiose and a little bit hyperbolic, and instead just being like super clear and to the point, like you need to accomplish these two things to not die.
Just making a quick note here to title this episode "Feeling Seen by the Military Industrial Complex." So you're saying that they don't move fast and break things. They don't move fast and break things when it comes to flying $45 million dollar aircraft?
Right.
Ooh, our connection's getting real janky. And, there is a delay and you're all crankly crunkly.
Aw, man.
That's all right. We're gonna power through.
Let's power through. Why don't you talk for a minute while I get to a better signal?
Oh, no. I'm being put on the spot, and you had so many interesting things to say, and I just simply don't. I simply do not. One of our neighbors got a new dog.
Because it's her.
Hillary prides herself in being a sort of, like, big picture matchmaker. Like, she's very excited to, like, send people links to houses she wants them to buy. Or in this case, send our neighbors a link to a dog she wants them to adopt. And they just did it. They just adopted the dog. So now we have a new dog in the neighborhood. He's a very sweet, fluffy Samoyed, 2 years old. And we're working on him and Sadie being friends. So that's a new project.
Aww.
Yeah. His name is Gnocchi.
That's awesome.
We love Gnocchi. He's very fun.
I wonder what that is, that personality type of, like, the person who really wants to be the matchmaker of things.
She's very good at it, and she really likes to do it. Like, you know, we have a friend that's looking for a house, and she sends this guy, like, I don't know, 10 or 12 links a week that is like, you should buy this house, you should buy this house, what about this house?
Aww.
And it's, like, just doing a lot of work for him, and she just loves doing it, you know?
Yeah, that's really sweet. That's a nice love language.
Yeah, that is not me.
Yeah.
Not me. Couldn't be me. So what exactly are you doing in France?
I'm going to go see Kelly. She's teaching a class out there.
Is she already out there? You're going out there to meet her?
Yes, she's been out there for like a week or two already.
Right. I saw some posts on Instagram that looked like it was in Europe, so I assumed she was maybe already out there.
Yeah. The weird thing about not having Instagram, you're like, oh yeah, people know things that I don't know that.
Yep. Well, but you know what? You're probably better off for it.
So I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know nothing. It's going to be great. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be there.
What does France look like?
We're going to go to a gluten-free Michelin star restaurant that I forgot the name of already. That's the first stop on the trip.
Linda, have you been to France before?
I've been to France, but not since I was like 15, and I did one of those trips with my family. The only trip that we ever did to Europe. And we just hit up a bunch of countries, and I don't remember very much. I remember eating baguettes. I remember my dad yelling at my sister for being too picky about food. That's about it.
I went on my first international trip when I was 15 with my aunt, uncle, and cousin to Europe. And what I remember most about that trip was eating the bread in every country we were at and just being like, this bread is so much better than all the bread we have in America. I ate so much bread on that trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to eat the bread. I'm going to see if I get gluten too bad.
I don't know, Linda. I don't know. Do you really want to be sour-tummied in France?
Sour tum-tum. I mean, like, in Italy, it was fine, so maybe I'll try it out. I'm going to disconnect my phone and see if it sounds better for you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're louder at least, so that's good.
That's cool. All right, sounds good. I just have to be on this road for 133 miles, it says. So.
Don't you love that? You love when it's like, you're going to be here for 2+ hours doing the same exact thing.
This is your life now.
Now, have we talked before about what do you do on road trips? Do you listen to things? And what sort of things do you listen to? Do you like to just drive in silence and be with your thoughts? What's your road trip mode?
I feel like it's different every single time. I don't really have like a thing. I was this morning listening to a playlist from Courtney Barnett. Do you know this artist?
Never even heard of this name.
It's like a kind of alt country person, indie, I guess you would say, not alt. But yeah, so I was listening to that. That was great. And I ate a bag for breakfast.
A bag of what for breakfast?
M&M's.
Oh, nice. That's good. I mean, honestly, a bag of M&M's has about the nutritional value of like a bowl of regular breakfast cereal. So it's basically breakfast cereal. You're good.
Or even like a protein bar. It's like, whatever. It's just sugar and it's processed enough that it's like not going to make your stomach feel weird. It's just like, oh, cool. Energy. Thank you.
That's what I tell myself when I have M&M's for breakfast.
Yep. But I don't know. The road trip for me is like a good way to get in touch with your brain, see where it's at. What does it need right now? When you called me, I was listening to Comedy Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
As I do on the weekly.
Good episode this week. Good episode this week, I must say.
All right. Can't wait to dig into it.
Mm-hmm. I'm planning a little road trip myself in October. I'm going to Madison with some friends, and we're probably going to drive just because we need a car while we're out there, and the combination of like flying and then also renting a car is like crazy expensive, and it's really only like a 12-hour drive from Baltimore, so it's very doable in one day. It's not like terrible. So I think that's what we're gonna do. And I'm already thinking about what we're gonna listen to. Gonna pass the aux cable around the car probably.
Oh hell yeah! Do you have a playlist going?
My playlist is the only podcast. So I have podcasts that I'm lining up, and by I'm just planning on specific shows. Whatever that week's episode is what I'll play.
Yeah, a two and a half hour episode of 99% Invisible comes on. You're like, oh, this is my jam. Turn it up.
Turn up that Roman. I haven't listened to that show in forever. Do you still listen to that at all?
I just started listening to it again because I was on a road trip with my friend Steven, and he was like going through a big 99% invisible phase. So it's like, oh yeah, I haven't listened to this in a while. But I'm the same as you. I'm normally just a podcast gal. But after that road trip with Steven, he introduced me to a lot of new, nice music, including this person that I just shared. Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of like, I'm getting back into music again, Andy.
Ooh. I like the, have you listened to the new Kendrick album?
Not yet. I downloaded it for the airplane. I have a whole plan for that album. I'm going to, as soon as I get into my seat, I'm going to take some Advil PM. I'm going to turn on the new Kendrick album. I'm going to close my eyes, and hopefully I'm going to drift off into a really weird place.
Okay. It's a really great album. The only music I listen to now, I've realized that, you know, I'm just the classic person. My music tastes got calcified when I was 22 years old. And so I still listen to all the new Kendrick albums, all the new Tyler, the Creator albums, all the new Kanye albums, all the new, you know, Earl Sweatshirt albums, the artists that I like, and I don't like new artists. I don't seek them out or listen to any new music. I will say, Linda, I love the new Kendrick album. I don't want to spoil any of it for you, but it might not be the best thing to try and fall asleep to, is maybe the one thing I will say about it.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to need to worry about that. I think I just want to go to a weird headspace.
Okay,
really.
It will probably be pretty good for that, yeah.
Okay, good. Have you listened to the new James Blake sounds?
No.
I always this like soundscape album that is great to just kind of put on and sit down and maybe get a little high and be like, huh, interesting. Okay.
I get that guy confused. I know that you're talking about the cool one, but isn't there another another James Blake sounding name that's not exactly James Blake that is like incredibly uncool?
Two white guy names smashed together. I don't know.
But another musical artist that's like James Bloke or something that is like very uncool.
John Bloke.
Oh, I think I'm thinking of James Blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
come
he's
on.
Very
get
uncool.
Get out of here with that guy.
I get James Blunt and James Blake confused.
Yeah. Because James Blake is the cool guy.
They're both British, but one of them is cool British. And one of them is powerfully uncool. Sorry, James Blunt, if you're a listener.
Yeah.
But you're just not cool. You're rich, probably, but you're not cool, so sorry.
When I was on the Cape, I had a British friend who happened to also be on the Cape, so she came to visit my family. And I work with this person. We work in the same co-working space, so I see her all the time. And forget that what a novelty a British accent is to your average Southerner.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like all they could talk about. Like every single word she said, they're like, oh, that was crazy.
That's funny. It's also kind of a bummer for her. You know, that's kind of annoying to have every single word scrutinized, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And I knew it was really bad because after she left, my niece said, I liked her. I really liked how she didn't mind that we were making fun of her voice so much.
Oh, no. When the 7-year-old's picked up on it, it's gotten pretty bad.
I need to buy her some coffee or something.
That's very funny. I thought you were going to say that you're like, I liked her. I liked how she didn't speak right. how she said everything wrong and silly.
And I was also like, Carson, that's not a thing to like about a person. I like how they just put up with it when I made fun of them ruthlessly.
I think that's a big part of some of my friendships, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Don't take yourself too seriously. It's a good quality to have.
I've talked with Matt before about how I feel like having this sort of like playful ribbing or like joking relationship with somebody is a way in like under toxic American white masculinity to like have some semblance of honesty and like vulnerability in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because God knows you can't just be earnestly vulnerable because that would be like fucking gay or something. But if you, you know, if you make fun of each other constantly and like acknowledge each other's worst attributes and traits, it's a way to be kind of honest with each other in a way that we don't have other methods of being.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway. I think that's what it is. I try not to do it anymore, but it was a big part of my life growing up. My family is a big make fun of you ruthlessly family.
That can be pretty hard. I don't think my family is that way. I think we give each other shit, and it's fun. But
so basically, what I'm getting from this is you're like, my family's not like that. We just give each other shit and it's fun. So you're just on the side that's giving the most shit and having the fun doing it. And so you're like, yeah, we're not cruel or anything. We just give each other shit and it's fun for everybody.
Yeah, like a really good example is my sister's husband. He's a pretty ripped dude. He's in incredible shape. Lots of big muscles on that man. And he was kayaking and like like flipped over. And his brother, instead of being like, oh, hey, man, do you need help? Just stood on shore and filmed the whole thing. and just took pictures of him struggling to get back into the kayak. And so last night they were like passing around photos of him struggling to try to get back.
Now, how does him being ripped bare, like, what does that have to do with that story at all?
So the thing that it has to do with the story is he was on his stomach trying to get back into the kayak, and this angle just had like his two giant butt cheeks like just jettisoned out to his ankles, and it's hard to describe. It looked like he looked like a weird buff starfish or something.
His butt cheeks jettisoned out to his ankles. I'm going to be thinking about that string of words for a while to try and figure out what that's supposed to look like.
They were just passing it around and being like, damn, dude, what's your glute routine? You got to give me that.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, good times. That's the kind of shit giving, you know?
Oh, yeah, my family would 100% do that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For show.
For show.
Mm.
So, this is my life. I'm just going from thing to thing.
So have you slept in your new fancy bed yet? Your new hotel bed?
Okay, so I had it for like 2 nights. I'm on the fence, Andy.
You're on the fence. It's not everything you remembered.
Okay, I feel like the one that I was on was maybe a little bit squishier.
Oh, it was worn in by the asses of 1,000 people.
Right. And then I slept in another bed that I thought was more comfortable. So now I'm really having some buyer's remorse.
Oh, what's the other bed? Do you know the brand and make and model of the other mattress?
I think it was the fanciest, newest Casper that there is. But, Andy, I don't know what to do. Okay, so, like, here's the thing. Laying in the bed, I'm like, I don't know if this is as comfortable, huh? And I woke up the next morning and I felt like my hip was like, it wasn't sore, but it was just like, I could tell that I had a hip.
You were aware of your hip.
I was aware that it existed.
You perceived your hip, and you don't want to perceive your joints ever.
Right. And, but...
Yes, the hip is attached to the butt.
And but, the sleep was pretty remarkable. Like, I went down immediately, don't remember anything, and I woke up the next day.
Like, okay, you say you went down? That's the way you say, like, a baby goes to sleep. Like, oh, he went down at 6. You're like, I went down.
I've been around, like, 6 children all weekend, so yeah. I went down.
I went down, and I didn't even cry at all. I just fell asleep right away.
I didn't cry. I didn't fuss. I didn't ask for water.
Mm-hmm.
I just went right down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, undeniably, the sleep itself was way better than my old mattress. So I've already upgraded in that realm. But I'm like, is it cozy enough? I don't know.
Well, you definitely can't evaluate from 2 nights alone. You're going to have to give it a little more of a go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But those hotel mattresses, like, they're just softened up by the pumps of a million strangers. So you just got to soften that bed up with some pumps and then you'll be fine.
Should I just, like, while I'm out of town, just let people go ham on my new mattress?
Yeah, just rent it out Airbnb. That's all Airbnbs are for. Yeah. Airbnbs are just for boning.
Yeah, you can rent out entire home, a spare room, or Linda's mattress.
Just mattress.
Yeah, just mattress, please.
You put a nice, you know, watertight mattress cover on, and then let people go to town on it. You know, yep. Really break it in for you.
I would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. valuable service. Pictures. I'm just picturing, have you ever seen those, you know, those like stress testing machines for mattresses or chairs or whatever that just like, you know, sit down on a chair, you know, 60 times a minute and they do that for like, you know, a month to test the chair or whatever. I'm just picturing like, you know, two wooden forms that are like people on top of a mattress, just like, you know, speed humping for like, you know, 6 days straight just to see how many humps it takes for the mattress to get destroyed.
Two crash test dummies with like no life in their eyes just fucking vigorously.
And it's like, you know, and the lights go off, everyone goes home from the factory, but the machine's still running. It just runs 24/7. That kind of speed to it. They come back the next morning, take some measurements from the mattress, check its springiness, its malleability, and they let the robots go back at it again.
They give them a water break and send them back to work. Mm-hmm.
Grease them back up. Gotta keep lubricated. That's funny to me.
That's a funny thought. I like thinking about that. I love to laugh. Let's make a sketch comedy show and film it.
Mm. How long are you in France for? Is it a week, you said?
I'll be there until the 2nd of July. So from like tomorrow until then, it's like 10 days or something. I don't know. Andy, here's another thing that would probably give you like blood curdling anxiety. I don't have half of my trip planned yet.
Oh, that's actually fine by me. I don't care about that.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. So I have my first like 4 or 5 days with Kelly planned. And then I was going to go and visit my friend who is also going to be there, but he had to cancel his trip at the last minute. So now I do not have plans, but I think I'm just going to turn it into a hiking trip.
I'm not a big, you know, I think it's good to plan some things when you're traveling, like the stuff you definitely don't want to miss or whatever. But I do not like a like fully planned vacation. That just feels like a chore to me. That's like a task to complete. I like just being in an unfamiliar place and just, you know, just being there and doing whatever comes to mind, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a core difference between how I and Hillary travel. Hillary likes to plan things. I would rather just, like, walk around a city aimlessly, I don't know, until I find a little cafe that looks good, you know?
Yeah, that's my vibe. Yeah, I might have to do, like, a little bit of research, see if there's some stuff I definitely want to see, but it's kind of like dating myself. Like, ooh, what do I want to do today? What's going to make Linda feel good? And I'll have to go with the flow. I looked up some, like, super bougie hotels. And I also looked up some, like, really rural, strange hiking areas. So I think I'll have a good mix of, you know, like, high-low, fancy, earthy.
It sounds very lovely to take yourself on a date and approach it with that mentality.
Hell yeah.
Really, really sweep yourself off your feet.
I am good at that. I'm so in love with me. Dude.
Me too. I also love me.
Like, can you believe this chick? She likes to do all the same shit I do.
She's fucking,
we like all the same music.
She's fucking hot. Jesus, man, she's fucking hot.
She's hot as fuck. Knows exactly where to touch me.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, at first, like, when my friend had to bail, I was a little bit bummed. And, like, that panic
Naturally.
Of like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? Maybe I should cut my trip short. I don't want to be in France alone. That sounds depressing. And then you're like, wait.
Whoa.
Hold up.
Being in France alone does not sound depressing at all. Sounds like you don't have to worry about sharing your crepes.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they have gluten-free crepes. Man, I'm about to miss out on so much food.
Here's what you should try and find while you're there. So when we went to Paris a while ago, we sought out this thing called a Breton-style crepe. Which is traditionally made with buckwheat flour. Buckwheat, if I recall, I don't believe has any gluten in it, or is much, much, much less gluten than regular.
Yeah.
So it's a savory buckwheat crepe, and you can have all kinds of things in them, but the traditional one is just like Gruyere and ham and a fried egg.
And, ooh, a savory crepe. I'm into it.
I strongly suggest seeking out Breton-style crepes if you can find them. It is something that, like, I loved so much while we were in Paris that I, like, learned how to cook for us ourselves because you can't get them anywhere in America, and I love them. So, highly recommend.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
I'll do it.
All right, Linda, I gotta get to work. I got a busy day today, big presentation tomorrow that I'm unprepared for. But, you know, this is just like the day before the big murder flight in the million-dollar airplanes. My mission is clearly laid out, so I've got a lot of work to do.
So you have a clear mission, you have to state your objectives,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to visualize success, okay?
I'm picturing myself giving a presentation and the client going, ooh, and ah, and wow.
And they are clapping, and they
so
raise
good.
You up on a chair, yeah.
We're going to give you twice as much money because it's so good. You don't even have to work anymore.
Hey, believe in the power of magnetic thought, man.
Yeah.
Just bring that shit to you.
Hopefully we can talk while you're in France, if you're down at some point. You know,
yeah, let's do it.
That would be fun, a little France episode. But otherwise, enjoy your trip, and I hope your long day of travel goes...
It'll be nice to contrast this one, where I'm all high on life, and I'm like... Yeah!
Oh boy, the delay.
Oh well. Bye, Andy!
Bye! Love you, Linda! Have a good trip. Talk to you.